Many questions for Ask Catherine. The first one gives a fascinating background of someone who I suspect has many IQ points on me. And then they describe, I found four rules for dealing with evil. One, combine strength with cheerfulness. Fabulous. I call it staying in a state of amusement. Two, compromise with evil is impossible. I couldn't agree more. Great rule. Three, do not struggle directly with evil lest you entangle your ego. Very good advice. Four, keep making progress in the good. Great advice. I have four more, one rule and three clear indications. Always be on the offense against evil, never the defense, using always and only force choices against it, as is necessary to use the rock, scissor, paper, choice, frame language with each type situation. Evil always and only takes shortcuts. Good never does. Evil always and only seeks and causes confusion. Good never does. And evil alone and always is parasitic. Good never is. Catherine, it's always amazed me how sparse how-to instructions are in all scriptures except the occasional put on the armor of righteousness. I wish you all the best for the turning of our world and humanity to the light today, and a Merry Christmas and prosperous 2018. God bless you, and I'm eager to help you if you let me know how. By the way, per your comments on knowing family history, the McCarthy motto I've striven to live up to is, to the brave and faithful, nothing is difficult. Very, very wonderful model. Those are great ideas. Thanks. I appreciate them. One of the things you can do is do everything you can think of to spread the missing money story to state and local officials. We need to engage them in ways to create local leverage, political leverage, to start to bring that money back and to make sure that the failure of the federal government to obey the financial management laws does not cause the kind of drain and pain to state and local operations that it has for the last 20 years. Hi, Catherine. You said a while back that the debt growth model is over, echoing a certain foreign political leader. Very funny. Is the tax bill, given the delicate nature of the bond market and the other factors such as China, Russia gold hoarding, or cooking it up alchemically and cryptos, that this tax bill represents a partial move away from the debt growth model, given that corps will be buying back a lot of stock and paying off a lot of debt? Does the bill pretend to support the bank P&Ls as the bond market goes poof? I don't think the bond market's going to go poof. It's double the size of of the stock market, although the stock market's growing. I think you're going to see bonds recede in importance, and part of that is the transfer of assets and growth to corporations as opposed to governments. So sovereign governments will shrink relative to corporations, but I don't think the bond market will go poof. Corporations will finance relatively more with equity than they have, but you're going to see a lot of equity around the world securitize and a lot more entrepreneurship and activity as a result of the new technology. Now, we've seen the float in the U.S. stock market in terms of number of companies shrink, so there's been a consolidation. It's really the float globally is where you get the growth of many more companies, many more activities. But again, I think we're in a long-term bull market in equity, but I don't underestimate the risk and difficulties, particularly because of our dependency on the war model. War can be hugely destructive to equity. What you're watching is a war model that's trying to control the equity through force. Dear Catherine, thank you for your work on the $21 trillion. Unbelievable. Here's a link to a new thing in the tax bill. Key whistleblower protections cut from the tax reform law. Criminal fraudsters protected. Unbelievable. As I said, I've printed out all 1,000 pages, and I'm going to skim to see if I can find the nuggets. Sometimes it's hard to do given the legislative language, but all the law firms will be tearing through. And I'll have the benefit of their summary. So I think we're going to learn a lot about what the tax reform is completely. Let's give it another month of studying and reading. Someone sent in a link to Deborah Tavares, who had predicted the fires in Northern California back in 2015, or predicted the problems coming from Agenda 21. She and Rosa Quarez, who we had on the Salera Report, had both done a very courageous job of warning people about the different land control that's coming. For many years, I pointed out the extent to which we always have fires in areas of mortgage fraud. One of the things that happens is in the federal mortgage funds, you can really dip and pull lots of money out on a non-transparent basis. So there's all sorts of shenanigans when you write off the mortgage fraud and pull money out of the FHA funds that I used to watch when I was at HUD. Dear Catherine, our family subscribes to your report. We very much appreciate you blowing the whistle and calling attention to some very critical issues. I found your presentation on entrainment fascinating. Your guests made some extraordinary claims, such as deep state agents planning black boxes in television studios which insert entrainment signals, and the ability to embed visual subliminals in digital content, which I know would be extremely difficult to do. It's extremely difficult to get any kind of non-voice signal to carry properly over cell phones. However, I can't find any citations in any of this material. I suggest that more citations is an opportunity to improve many of your presentations. Do you have any evidence of broadcast and entrainment by pro-government agents? Actually, I do, in the sense that I experienced it during the litigation, oddly enough. Or is this unsupported speculation? I'm not saying unsupported speculation should never happen, but please label it clearly as such. I wouldn't be terribly surprised if you were right, but I would like to have evidence before I share it with my friends. As a suggestion, I would find the Salieri Report infinitely more value to me if every web page for presentations had a good bibliography that directly supported your claims. It's a great suggestion, unbelievably expensive and time-consuming to perform, which one of the reasons I and other people don't do it. In life, you know, you have to sell it for more than it costs you to make it. That's always a challenge. In 2010, when I was able to get Adam Trombley to give me the interview, which I was very surprised that he was willing to do it at that time. It was much more dangerous than it is now. He was doing me a great big favor. Getting citations would have been essentially impossible, although it's possible if I had spent a lot of time sort of digging things out and doing the research. But I agree it would be far superior if we had them. It was one of the reasons I built the analytic capacity I had in Hamilton Securities, which unfortunately the Department of Justice destroyed. This year, I realized that I needed to provide much better and deeper coverage of the kind you're talking about mind control. And I was very conflicted because I didn't want to have our capacity go 80-90% to mind control as opposed to other topics. And that's when I discovered the extent to which TruthStream is doing a lot of that research and investigation. I don't know if you've listened to the interview with them. They are coming out with a documentary shortly, which I hope will provide some of that. And I was very glad to hear of it. And we've done a few things to really support them on that, because I think it's extremely important to have some of the scientific basis. They have one video I put up in connection with the interview where they do a deep dive on one patent. Melissa Dykes at TruthStream is doing a lot to review the patents and see what patents say about the technology. Anyway, I really appreciate your feedback, and it's something I will think about how to do. We have done a lot of book reviews following up on the entrainment interview, one on gambling, one on pornography, one on sort of how to create hook products and addiction. Jason Worth has been helping with some great book reviews. And one of the reasons we do book reviews is those books do have tremendous number of citations, and that's a way for us to provide it. You might want to check those out as well. But I think on some of these interviews, one of the reasons I like to interview people who have books. So, for example, when I interview Howard Root, he's got a great book that backs up all his claims with amazing specifics, is that we then can provide that. But I will try. We will look for opportunities and ways to do that are economic. In Harry Blaser's recent interview of Sally Fallon Morell of the Weston Price Foundation, both of them made certain statements against the vegan diet. As a vegan and as an enthusiastic Salieri subscriber, I feel compelled to respond to this. I don't have enough time right now to do so, but it is my to-do list for early next year. For now, I just want to say that there's nothing deficient about the vegan diet. Just as Salieri subscribers prefer to put on the sunglasses and see all the spooky conspiracy stuff going on that most others don't see when it concerns Mr. Global shenanigans in banking, the economy, politics, the military, and so forth. There is tremendous misinformation about diet. I'm determined to write to you about this in more detail in the near future. Yeah, it was funny. I was expecting that. There's the Sally Fallon Morrell and the Weston Price Foundation and Harry's very much in that camp believe that animal fat is essential for a healthy human diet. And yet I have many wonderful friends and subscribers who are absolutely convinced that they are much better off with a vegan diet. What Harry would say is a lot of the reason that that happens is because it's very hard to establish a diet, including animal fat and protein, that's really clean, that's not corrupted by GMOs and GMO feed, et cetera. And the, you know, or heavy ultra pasteurization, as Sally describes in the interview. So the, you know, what he would say is a high quality, clean, Weston Price kind of diet that includes animal protein and animal fat really is better than vegan. But if you look at the people I know who are very happy and infinitely healthier on a vegan diet, they're perfectly happy and healthy. And what I would say is everybody's different. What I find is what's important is to find the pathway for you and, you know, and to hear the arguments either way, but ultimately your body will tell you what you really need. Hi, Catherine. I listened to your interview with Daniel, the dark journalist, today and want to say how much I appreciate what you both had to say. Your comment about Chuck Schumer's statement inferring that the president answered the CIA connected some dots for me. I've been wondering for some time who is really running the globalist agenda. And then they go into a long description, which you can read in the notes, about the Venetians really running things in their relationship to Skull and Bone and the Templars. Now, what I have to say is I've only met one Venetian nobleman in my life. I spent a day with one when I was in Venice a few years ago, and I found him to be one of the most enlightened and intelligent human beings I've ever met. Interestingly enough, the old families in Venice, there are only 38,000 members of those old families, and on any given day in Venice, the American tourists are approximately 150,000. One of the things he said, it was like being Mickey Mouse at Disney World. And I guess what I've found is that the only psychopaths I've ever met, you know, I've certainly hung out with a lot of people at various times in my life who run the world, and the only psychopaths I ever met were the neocons. They were manic. If you watch Charlie Ferguson's video on Iraq, which I'm always recommending, you really get a sense of how completely crazy and incoherent they are. And, you know, and the Bushes and the Clintons were part of that crew. I would describe them more in the Rockefeller faction than the, you know, than the Ziocon faction, but they were very much on board for all of that. And the more they got away with it, the crazier they got. So, and they were joined by a whole world of software developers and techies whose theory was if you can get away with it, it's clever, it's good, it's fine. So I think as the financial coup proceeded and more fraud that grew, you literally had a group of people who went nuts. And then you layer on the mind control, you know, and then you get really incoherent and nuts. So I have a problem blaming, you know, having watched thousands of Americans go nuts together and do horrible things, whether in Washington or local communities all over the country, I have a hard time blaming it on 38,000 people in Venice. And I realize you're talking about a network that now spans the globe. But I think the, I think your theory doesn't fit with what I've seen in this world. Now, what I will say is the Vatican is at the heart of a great deal of evil for many, many centuries. And, you know, you say the Venetians control the Vatican. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I certainly, if I was going to pick, if I was going to pick one organization to tag with the extraordinarily evil behavior throughout the centuries, it would be the Vatican. It was funny, when I first started to research corruption and government corruption, I got on the CIA drug listserv run by Chris Milligan, who is a wonderful publisher. He's got a great publishing company out in Oregon. And I'd get on and there'd be these wars between people who said, one guy would say, it's all the Masons. Another guy would say, it's all the Jews. And another guy would say, no, it's the Vatican. And they didn't have an understanding of the extent to which these groups compete and cooperate. And it was funny, many years ago, I went to the wonderful Shakespeare Festival in Oregon, and I have seen most of Shakespeare's plays performed, but I hadn't seen King John, and it was playing, so I got a ticket and went. And sure enough, the whole thing was the Vatican and the aristocracy and the Masons fighting. And after the lights went on when it was over, I thought, you know, it's 500 years later and nothing's changed. Anyway, a planet can't do this much evil without a lot of people participating and helping. So, I don't know. I think we need to disperse responsibility for the evilness. Hi, Catherine. Thank you so much for the insightful content I've come across, especially with the Missing Money and Food Series articles. I have a great amount of money involved in a gold company which finances gold mining operations. You have mentioned in previous salary reports with Mr. Kirby that these operations may hit hard times due to rising mining costs. You've also mentioned recently that the rise of gold-backed cryptocurrencies could be upon us. In regards to the future of the gold mining operations, since there may be more of a demand, are you able to provide feedback? Any insight is helpful. Once again, I thank you for all you do for the salary report. At 32 years old, you've opened my mind to so many perspectives that I've never considered before. This puts to shame the shockingly misleading primary education I've received. Welcome to the club. I feel this is a better education in true reality that most post-secondary schools could offer. Well, fantastic. I'm so glad you're with us. Mining is going to get trickier if you... I was up at the mining conference in March in Toronto, and what you heard again and again is they have to go further... they have to take more and more political risk to continue to mine, and they have to spend more and more money to dig deeper to get the same amount of stuff. So you're talking about rising political risks and expense. At the same time, I believe gold is in a long-term primary trend, positive. So there's going to be that primary trend is going to drive the demand of gold. At the same time, because of the political and sort of risks of going deeper, you know, to get the same amount, it's the peak everything problem. I think it's imperative that you have excellent management. Financing, investing in a company that's financing many operations diversifies and spreads the risk. I think that's a good strategy. But you really need to make sure you have high quality governance and management. And management that can handle tremendous potential for technological disruption, because there's if you look at what robotics and technology is going to do, it could really be a game changer. So again, excellent management, but yeah, I think the long term primary trend for gold will carry you, or certainly help. Hi, Catherine. I just listened to you and Richard Dolan dismantle Corey Good. What about Philip Schneider and the subterranean battle at Dulce, New Mexico? I've never gone into that with Richard, so I don't know what Richard would say. I've certainly seen some of his presentations and really can't comment on it, but I will ask Richard next time he's on. If I applied the infinite monkey theorem, where monkeys eventually type out Shakespearean works of art, to my understanding of money management, I would be no further along in my grasp of these concepts than when I began. That being said, in your latest Money and Markets, Ask Catherine, you recommend a money manager specializing in puts. I know you don't endorse any person or institution, but if I threw out a name, would you be willing to give a Robert Redford swipe? Here's the thing. It's a big job to due diligence a company properly, so I can't comment on a company I haven't done serious due diligence on. We do, Salary Advisors does do screens in partnership with a money partner that does a hedge portfolio. And so if you go to salaryadvisors.com, we should have a link up to Parvin Asset Management. It's parvinam.com. And you can see the Salary World portfolio and as well as the Salary Space portfolio. So if you want to take a look, and that should link from our salaryadvisors.com. It's parvinam for parvinassetmanagement.com. Hi, Catherine. In connection with your Control 101, I found the confessions as such with this podcast of interest on your Control 101 theme. What's interesting is not only the content, and then they sent a podcast by Jesse Felder, episode number 18, Roger McName, about Facebook. Anyway, I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but thank you for sending that. Hi, Catherine. I listened to your year in tax planning, and then they described the Roth backdoor, which we discussed last week, but we have it in here. I thought it was really worth knowing about this. Here's a crucial article, lays out the steps of the transition from Global 2.0 to 3.0, and they sent in Mike Adams' new piece on Bitcoin. It's called Evidence Points to Bitcoin Being an NSA PSYOP Rollout on One World Digital Currency. And Mike has some very interesting ideas and steps about how Bitcoin could be evolved into a controlling central currency. And because I think essentially that's part of the gist of the matter of building out the train tracks for digital currencies, I think it's worth taking a look at. So we've posted it. Good job, Mike.